Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back, and I want to pick it up where we left off on this, here, this with
Trump's
the
indictment
of President Trump. Here we go on, it says here, the grand jury voted today to indict Trump in a case that centers on an alleged hush payment of $130,000 made to porn actor Stormy Daniels via his then-lawyer Michael Cohen. Trump has consistently denied the affair and any knowledge of the payment, and warned of potentially disastrous consequences if he is arrested now. She has said three times that they did not have sex. She has said that.
Correct. And this Cohen guy is a real jerk.
Well, yeah, he's yeah.
Not reliable.
His own lawyer said he's a crook.
Correct.
His own lawyer spoke out against him, said the guy can't tell the truth. Okay, so now think about this. First of all, they're going after him. But let's just say Trump had paid $130,000 for hush money. That's not illegal.
No, it isn't.
That's not even a crime. No. Trump, he had a name for her. I can't remember what the name was. But he said, you know, why would I want her? He called her dog face or something. Why would I want her? Look what I have at home.
And
it makes a good point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's a good point. But so here now, they ran, first of all, it wasn't, there's no law against it. But they're trying to say, yeah, well, they're going to find a way to make it a misdemeanor. But even if that was the case, it's got an expiration date of 5 years, okay? And it's gone past that. They failed to move on that. And so here, now they found another whore. They said, well, there was two whores, not just one. And Trump said this. He named all of the things that he's been accused of and that have come out proving he was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's the most innocent man in the whole United States of America today. The Democrats have lied, cheated, stolen in their obsession with trying to get Trump. But now they've done the unthinkable, indicting a completely innocent person in an act of blatant election interference. Trump did not reveal what his next steps would be, but his lawyer, Joe Tacopina, has vowed to vigorously fight his political prosecution in court. Meanwhile, a spokesman for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office told the AP the prosecutors had reached out to Trump's legal team to arrange a surrender, expected sometime next week. So, I mean, Trump wouldn't really have to go there. I mean,
no, he doesn't.
But my guess, here's what I think that they're probably going to happen. They're probably going to get the trial moved to a place where he can actually get a fair trial. There's no way in the world that Manhattan is as corrupt gets. I mean,
well, that's the only reason why that indictment went through, because it was supposed to go through last week and it didn't.
It wouldn't go through anywhere else. I mean,
exactly, because of all the corruption in the law and justice system there
in Manhattan,
and the judges.
And so, okay, we have DOJ memos dissuaded marshals from arresting. Here's what we were talking about earlier. You have two tiers of justice. Merrick Garland had told the FBI, don't arrest the protest. Don't arrest Antifa. Don't arrest the Sodomites. Only arrest Christians. And here, DOJ memos dissuaded marshals from arresting protesters at the Supreme Court justices' homes. Law enforcement officers stand guard as abortion rights activists with our Rights DC march in front of the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's house on June 29th, 2022. in Chevy Chase, Maryland, over the last couple of months, bloody pro-death activists have staged protests against five conservative U.S. Supreme Court justices. The Supreme Court recently decided in the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health case overturned the 50-year-old Roe v. Wade case and erased federal protection to baby killing. It goes on to say, a Senate Republican revealed during the March 28th budget hearing that an internal Department of Justice DOJ memo dissuaded U.S. Marshals from arresting protesters in violations of law against picketing the homes of judges. So there you go. Merrick Garland told them to break the law, told the police not to do their job.
Right.
And so here, right there, that's enough right there to go after and have him impeached or removed.
Correct.
But, I mean, and that's probably the least of the things that Merrick Garland has done. So, all right. Do you want to open the phone lines and take some calls early tonight?
Sure.
All
sure.
Right, let's do that. We're going to open the phone lines and take some calls early tonight. Lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. So phone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. So who do we have there, Style? Okay, we got Mac. Mac, you're in the air.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. The latest with the poison poke has claimed the life of my brother John. And it took me a while to get over it. It was so sudden. And healthy, supplements, brutally strong. And he was found dead in his apartment on the 18th. It was rough for me, but I decided I'm going to make mileage over this about the poison poke. They made him take it, a company called Beyond Meats, you know, the plant-based food. They required people to take the injections and to get the pokes and to get the things in the nose and to get the checks. And he took the first one, I think three or four more. And that's, my wife and I are sure that's why he passed away suddenly. So, like Pastor Ernie Sander had said, nowhere in the Bible does it say blessed are the stupid, but it does say my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And also, here's a verse train. A couple people, when I've called in about why I pray to just kill them all, here it goes, a verse train. So if you have a paper and pen, write it down. King James Version, Luke 18, 1-8. Jesus is telling the widow to pray for vengeance. Then you have Mark 9:29. This kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. You have Psalm 70. Let them be turned backward and put to shame that desire our hurt. Then you have John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, asking ye shall receive that your joy may be full. And in Proverbs it says of the seven things that God hates, it says God hates him that soweth discord among brethren. So our nation needs to pray, our nation needs to fast, and do not take the poison poke. We need to be aware, we need to fight against it, I am positive, sure, if Jesus Christ said, this kind can go forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting, my wife and I have been doing it for 5 years. If every independent fundamental Baptist church would meet us at the altar Wednesday night into Thursday and pray and fast, we would see things work. It worked for Jack Hiles for one solid year, not one convert. And then he prayed and he fasted, and a church went from 44 to nearly 3,000 before he took the work in Hammond. This kind goeth not by prayer and fasting. If we're going to stop this satanic move in our country, America needs to pray and fast. And thank you so much for letting me share. It ain't over, Desecrats. We know what you're about, and we're praying against you. God bless.
All right, thanks, Mac. You know, for 50 years, we've been asking people, trying to tell people, listen, it works. What God says works, it works.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, we've been trying to tell people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it doesn't stutter. If my people that are called by my name will repent, turn away, okay, God will heal their land if they'll pray, repent, and turn back to him. He tells you all nations that have forgotten their God will be turned into hell. And, you know, this is the message we're trying to get out to people. It's amazing out there, but prayer works. But our nation is imploding because people aren't praying because of biblical literacy. They don't know. They don't understand.
Well, the thing of it is, Pastor, I said, you know, and I get a lot of phone calls, and I talk to people, and we are dealing with a three-year under the fire and under the gun. And so people are broken. But I'm here to tell you that, like you said, prayer and fasting, you know, the opposite of courage is not fear. It's faith and trust.
Alrighty. Oh, my gosh. Who would have ever thought that Cliff would call? All right, yeah, Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah. I'll have a question for Elena before I go through a couple of things quick. One would be the Sergeant Reports podcast. There's a current interview with Colonel John Mills, who says he had been the director of cybersecurity for the country. He's retired now. But there's one about 2 weeks back now where he says that laundering is done through casinos, real estate, and abortion clinics. So these deep state operatives and global elite are actually laundering, apparently, according to him, through casinos, real estate, and abortion companies or whatever, or centers. So that's of interest. When you said the vice president is like a robot, I would reference Psalm 55. David says in the beginning of the psalm, he said, these people are coming after you day and night. They're relentless. Later in that psalm, it says they have no changes. They do not fear God. So they're so robotic about what they're doing. They're on a linear straight line. But he also says, you know, he's either going to run into the desert to escape, similar to Abraham's concubine that ran into the desert, or stand and fight against them. So he prays. It talks about the battle. And it says, many were with me. So I believe that he was given angels, many angels, to help him fight these people. And in verse 15 of Psalm 55, he says, let death seize upon him. And that kind of correlates with what Mac was just saying. My question for Elaine is about the amphetamines. They're claiming that a lot of women are on these, in particular, since they were younger for
for weight loss.
Right. The various reasons, and to help concentrate, support ADHD, you know, attention deficit disorder. Now, supposedly, there's been a lot of women in their 20s are saying they're substituting something else for the amphetamines, and I can tell that there's a shortage, and they're putting something else or mixing other pills in with, like, a limited supply. But I would ask you, what do you know about the history of this, basically speed, given what products are given, and what are the side effects that you've observed with people taking these various substances?
Well, you know, there's certain body systems that go out of balance. And what I do want to say is that you cannot look at the pharmaceutical industry in 2023 like you did in the year 2000. All right. It is not to be trusted. And I say that because of the information that has been published as far as what they're putting in the vaccines. If you go to vaccine safety, vaccinesafety.edu. That's vaccinesafety.edu. You will find John Hopkins School of Public Health. And in that document, in that website, if you do a search for vaccine ingredients, there will be a page that comes up that you can click on, and you can get the most recently published in March of the excipients, which means the ingredients in the vaccine. So they're adding DNA and from aborted fetal cells into all of the childhood vaccinations. So as it relates to amphetamines, the history of amphetamines goes back quite a long time, you know, in the United States. However, I'm not sure what's in medications nowadays and what they're doing and distorting, you know, medications. And when I first got into integrative health, I had a couple of physicians tell me that for every drug out there, there is a natural counterpart. And which means a supplement, a herb, or a nutrient that serves the same purpose. So in the relation of what body systems tumble first, it would be your nervous system and your endocrine system, amphetamines and your cardiac system. But again, it depends on the health of the individual, how much they can take. I just heard about a Northeast Ohio death of a young man in his late 30s who died because of the monster caffeine drinks that he was doing, drinking absolutely no water, eating processed foods, etc. And, you know, he basically keeled over, and his physician said it was because of lifestyle and what he was doing. So was it true amphetamines? Not necessarily, but they've added so much caffeine into some of these power drinks that the body just doesn't know what to do with it. And so you go into what's called adrenal stress syndrome, where your adrenal glands stay turned on, rapid heartbeat, dizziness, predisposition to strokes, and that's because of all of the shedding that's been going on now with the people that are vaccinated. So there's a lot more factors than just pure amphetamines that create the problem.
All right, very good. All right, let's go out to Chardon. Hey, Dale, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi, Pastor. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you?
Well, real good, except I'm not happy about what's going on in my little city here.
No, I tell you, I feel bad for you guys having that abominable thing, that unclean thing there in your city.
You are correct, and I'm just wondering if they decide to proceed with this, because I'm reading that the sheriff's department and police departments are suggesting they cancel, but they seem to be bent on going forward with it. What do you think about people calling Child Protective Services and having them go there and monitor what's being going on? I know they're liberal anyway, but maybe just a little bit of harassment to them.
Well, you know, you're right. Usually these people in those areas, not all of them. We actually had some people that actually attended our church that worked there, but they'll be the first to tell you that you're right. Most of those people working for Child Protective Services, those are the ones you'd have to watch. There's a reason that they're working around children. It's just the way we are today. And that wouldn't hurt. Make them do their job, huh?
Well, the other thing, you know, is I often wondered about the public decency regulations and laws in the communities, because you're looking at public pornography.
Yeah.
All right, and that's adult entertainment.
I know, Dale.
And so what are the rules and regulations, the laws related to that?
I know, Dale, that our sheriff's deputies, our sheriff, and they are not happy with this at all. They live in the county, too, and they don't want this kind of filth in the county.
Well, and the other thing, I think it's highly disrespectful, especially since this transgender person shot up that Nashville school and we had
murdered the children.
Yeah, we had a school shooting here in Chardon, and I think it's just very disrespectful that they are doing this. Now, I understand that this is kind of a national thing. There's a big event on the 1st in Washington, D.C. with a bunch transgenders, and they're actually suggesting violence. They're talking revenge and, you know, all kinds of things like that. And I don't know, did you see where, I think she was the press secretary to Katie Hobbs in Arizona, put out a poster where she had two handguns pointing at a camera and said, transgenders need to take revenge, and then she got so much flack on it that she stepped down. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. They had the picture. This is, you know, of course, Katie Hobbs is as crooked gets.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, you couldn't be in one of these days. I know little by little, Carrie Lake is winning and steps up. Little by little, she's going to expose that corruption. But right there in that area, you have so much corruption. Drug money, big time drug cartel money, is they're buying judges. I mean, it's really corrupt. And Carrie Hobbs is really, what's her name? Hobbs is very corrupt. But Carrie Lake, God bless Carrie Lake. She stands her ground, and she don't give up, and she won't let them shut her down.
Right, yeah, and with this thing that's going to be happening in Washington, you know, it'll be interesting to see what that Muriel Mayer does. Because, you know, this is, will she allow the city to be destroyed again?
She'll probably tell the cops to stand down, let them burn it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean that's the way they are.
Yeah. You know. One other thing, Pastor, is there going to be a chili cook-off this year?
No. We don't have the manpower, Dale. We used to do that, but the fellow that used to lead that up for us every year, Pastor Bruce, what a wonderful job he did. He went home to be with the Lord, and I don't have time to do it. And we really don't have anyone that has stepped in to take his place to organize it. There's a lot of work going into putting on those chili cook-offs. And my co-host sitting here can look there, and she can look over there and see 14 first place.
I wonder what the trophies were for.
Yeah, I won 14 times Northeast Ohio Chili Cook-Off.
Well, the next one you do have, I'll go up against you with mine.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Did you hear that? I got a challenge. Maybe Dale. Are you still there, Dale? Oh. Well, maybe, you know, if we can find someone, we'd like to have it. I had a lot of fun doing the chili cook-off.
Oh, yeah, they're always fun.
And if we can find someone to organize it, because right now, I mean, we are really overmaxed at our office. We've got way more work than we have people. And so that's the problem. We don't have any boring days at all, not one. All right, who do we have there, did you say? Lee in New York, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Ernie, thank you for taking the call. I was wondering if you covered the Israeli crisis, I mean the problem with Netanyahu, how he tweeted that he was pro-Christian, and now there's like a huge uproar.
Yeah, well, he always leaned that way, and I've actually heard him quote scripture. And actually, at one point when I was in Israel, someone who knows him actually wanted to arrange a meeting with me so I could meet him. But, you know, there was too much involved in doing that, and I couldn't stay there. I had to leave and go back. But, you know, as far as I can see, he's the best leader that's been there in a long, long time, Netanyahu. But
it just seems so unreal how the whole country is on a lockdown because he just took one stance. I mean, of course, you know, there were people in the government and the judges that, we're all praying, but we had missionaries who couldn't come back till today, I think, or yesterday. It's quite astounding.
Did you go? Were you one of them?
No. It was from our church.
Because I was scheduled to be there. I was going to go with Pastor Dave in the Church of Warren. I was scheduled to be in Israel when all this, but I ended up with shoulder surgery instead. It wasn't anything I could put off. But you know, I've seen there's been quite a bit of activity there going on.
Yeah, yes. And according to the news, the young people were like literally like wishing brain cancer on the more conservative older folks. I mean, just very demonic, very demonic.
So well, it is. You know, Israel is a lot like the United States, and that in that passage we read in Hosea chapter 4, boy, it applied both to Israel and the United States so perfectly. The corruption in both countries. In Israel, they had the world's largest sodomite parade in Tel Aviv.
Well, they're also the most vaccinated country.
Yeah, and yeah, they really did a lot of damage to the young soldiers, mm-hmm. a lot of damage to the young soldiers. That myocarditis affects the males much more than the females, it seems. And the other thing was they had one of the highest abortion rates and one of the highest prostitution rates, you know, per population. So Israel's always been a stiff-necked people, always. And God has brought them to repentance. And this is why we're going to have this is what the tribulation period is all about. It's the purification of the nation of Israel.
Yeah. So, very sad. I mean, it's sad that such a holy land is so divided. I mean, I think there's a distinct difference I've been to Jerusalem. It's very holy. And then Tel Aviv is totally... I deliberately didn't want to stay in Tel Aviv, but you know, you meet a lot of Israelis, and they very clearly state that they're not, you know, they don't believe in their religious roots, most of them. So it's very unfortunate.
You don't, but there's two groups in there. You have, I noticed one thing, probably one of the strongest Christians are the Palestinian Christians. They're getting it from all sides, but there's some Orthodox, growing a number of Orthodox Jews that I spoke to, who recognize Christ as the Messiah. They recognize Jesus Christ that absolutely is the Messiah, and these are Orthodox Jews, and they believe that. And so,
well, and that's who New York City was going after.
Yeah, and here, at the same time, though, they still want to mix law and grace, and you can't mix law and grace, okay? And so, I had some very interesting conversations over there with some of their theologians, but anyhow,
it's very cultish. I think the whole Orthodox. I mean, from my impression, but I also wanted to mention Marla Maples came to our church, and I got to speak with her, and she said that Trump needed a lot of godly people around him, and I just wanted to put that out there so that people.
He does. When I first saw him with Paula White, when Paula White was supposed to be one of his spiritual advisors, you talk about a recipe for disaster, mm-hmm. okay? Right there, and I said that he's got to get rid of her. Now I haven't seen her. I think maybe he's been warned in that. I haven't seen her back in the picture with him. But he needs, you're right, he was surrounded by, it was like being in a snake pit, and he was surrounded by people that you could not trust. I think he's learned a big lesson. He's learned a big lesson about the deep state and all of those that are around him. You're right, he does. He needs some people that are strong, hardcore, fundamentalist, Bible-believing pastors. People that are who really hold to the Word of God without compromise, that's what he needs around him. Anyhow, thank you very much for calling. God bless. And we're coming up to a break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
And I won't ever let you down, but you should have a fear of me. jesting words has turned your heart toward me. You know that I have always done every single word I say. Words, my words are what I've used to turn your heart to me. My words will never pass away. My words are here to stay. Heaven and earth will pass, but my words will never go away. Words, my words are what I use to turn your heart to me. They are my words. My words are what I use to turn your heart to me. They are my words. My words are what I use to turn your heart to me.
All right, there you go, words. And that was Miss Julie Daner and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I wondered who that nice voice was.
Yeah, well, thank you. Let's go out and to Texas. And we have Brian out in Texas. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Pastor. How you doing this evening? You're hard working at it again. You just don't. If anybody I know that works hard, you guys on your show. I thought people in Texas worked hard, but I know y'all work really hard.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you, my friend.
Hey, I need your help. I kind of hope this is pertaining to the show. You know, there's so many stains on this whole thing that's going on, you know, in fingerprints. I mean, it's just, you look at the last, I don't know, 15 years in the United States. I don't like to put names on stuff, but I guess I will. When you look when the earlier president was in office, I'll say it's Obama. he signed that deal to where gay marriages could be recognized in the United States. And then, like the dominoes, other countries started doing the same thing, recognizing it and making it legal, or not, I guess, recognizing it so they could get federal benefits from the federal government. And employers could also would be required to recognize it where the opposite, if you married someone from the opposite sex, they also would be required to give benefits to their employees that are married that are different sexes. And now when Obama was in office, he also signed to where these transgenders can be converted in the military, and the United States government would pay for it, which that would mean that hardworking taxpayers would get deductions out of their hardworking payroll to tote the bill for this. And then when Trump was elected, he reversed it, said no, hardworking Americans are not going to tote the bill out of their payroll taxes to pay for this. And now Biden's in office, he came back, and it's facts, I know exactly what I'm specifically talking about, it's in the media, and it was in the media, that Biden reversed and said, yes, hardworking Americans are going to pay for it, and they're going to deduct it out of the payroll. And it's, what all this is that Americans really need to read realize where their hard-working money, and when they look at their paycheck, when it says federal income tax deductions, where these tax dollars are being utilized. And
well, Brian, here's what Americans really need to understand. This is reality. I'm going to get you, take you right to the realm of reality. The left, you know, in the Bible, he talks about Matthew chapter 25, those on the right and those on the left. In other places in the Bible, it's referred to the righteous, God's people on the right, the ungodly, Satan's people on the left. What Obama and Joe Obama, the entire Democratic collective, their policies are always in complete opposite of whatever God's Word the Bible teaches. Everything that God's Word the Bible teaches, they will be in opposition to. They are Satanists. These people, Democrats, virtually are Satanists. If God calls it a sin, they'll embrace it. So if you take a look at it, by the time you get to Genesis 9 in the Bible, three times he already tells you to be prosperous, be fertile, fill the world, repopulate the world. It's exactly the opposite of what they tell you. He refers to marriage as between a man and a woman only. God gave us the institution. He gave us the definition. What God calls an abominable thing, and that is sodomy, LGBTQ, God calls an abomination. In other words, an unclean thing that is vile and repulsive to God. So everything that the Democrats stand for is vile and repulsive to God. They embrace everything that God calls sin. That's the real reality, see. And you have to understand where we're at. There's a timeline. And if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Romans chapter 1 and 2 Thessalonians 2, you see that we're at real time, lifetime. We're there right now.
Pastor Arnie?
Yes, sir.
You don't ever have me too speechless, because I read my Bible and I study my Bible, and I've accepted the Lord as my Savior, because I know that tomorrow, we don't know what tomorrow holds. I listen to your show religiously. But I think more of our country, it's in the Bible, everything that's going on, as we know. And when you state what you state, it's there. And that's where our country and the people need to more follow this. They need to do and see. And I'm pretty sure it's coming. We got a lot coming at us now, more and more. And the signs are, you know, there each and every single day. And I think that your show is really awesome, and it's not so complicated, because God knows everything. And this is what is going to, like Trump was saying, it's going to keep revealing and more. It's going to keep resurfacing what they're doing.
Well, yeah, we're seeing things. I don't know, but I know all the signs of the Lord's soon return are there. I mean, all the signs of his soon return. And I also know that with God, all things are possible. We could still have a revival. We could still have, if the people would only believe the word of God. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But I do know what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to run to the battle. And, you know, and that's what we've got to do, place of crowns and glory in doing it. So, but thank you so much for calling, and thank you for those kind words. Let's
thank
go.
You,
thank you. God bless. Let's go to Steve in Cleveland.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, I came up with something online, but hey, real quick, the first caller there, that he lost his brother, and he said he's going to have to,
Mac,
keep moving on. I mean, if nobody could feel what he was saying and how strong he was, your very first caller, I mean, that's beyond amazing. And
we hear from people every single day. We're hearing from people who have lost family members that have died because of the shot.
You're such a strong man. I mean, your years of 50 years, I mean, everything you've gone through has had to strengthen you. That's your inner exercise, and I, you know, from above and everything, but I text somebody tonight, and what came out of my mouth is this country hit a crossroad today, and they really do want, you know, everything has to be done. We have to understand that word peacefully. You can peacefully protest. You could peacefully whatever. But, you know, everybody that wants to protest the drag queens, you know, the two generals, one wears a suit and one doesn't. Oh, we're going to stop drag queen hour at the bases, and the other one says, I don't believe it's going on. I mean, these are two. This country is incompetent idiots running it.
Those guys, believe me, Austin and Millie, I would be surprised. I would be surprised if they weren't drag queens.
If they weren't. Come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, really. But the main thing I think what I did want to say was is we got to understand where Donald Trump is going. I think Paula White and other ones, they're all gone. Because everybody that Trump got in office that he didn't know, he took them off of references from people. And the people that referenced him are writing books and what's his name? The guy that was in there for 12 days, the real long name, the slouch, satch, whatever his name was, the one guy that was in there back. Just the Michael Cohen, it's everybody. It's just unbelievable who's been around Trump. He knows what's going on, and they have to get him. But if you can do this, God has 10 commandments. Do you think you can write down Pastor Sanders' 12 suggestions? Because I think 10 needs 2 now, so you can't amend the 10 commandments, but can you make up, in all seriousness, do you think you could come up with Pastor Sanders or Church of the Word, Church 12 suggestions? And if you could, maybe put some Bible verses with it, because this country's really hit a crossroad. And
well, you know, Steve, this is what I use. If you'll notice sometimes when we have people call up to argue with me, right after I read it directly from the Word of God, I read directly word for word.
Let them listen. Yeah, right. You can tell what you're going to say. Go ahead.
And so here I read it directly from the Word of God, and they call up and they tell me they disagree with me. If I'm reading it from the Word of God, if I'm reading God's Word, who are they disagreeing with?
Wow, not bad at all. This is what I came up with. If we believe in faith, and faith is knowing that we can't see it, but we believe in it, what people need to do is go outside and take a deep breath of fresh air and blow that air out, and then do it again. Or put a mask on your face and see if that air comes back and hits you in the face. The thing that we need the most, we know we need it, and we can't live without it, but we can't see it, but we know it's there. And that's air. And that's what God gave us. I mean, that's faith, because if it ain't there, nothing else matters, you know, our heart, our brain, all that stuff. But, you know, going out for a walk at night makes your body work. But breathing that air, where did everything come from? Without that air, nothing lives. And you can see what's out there when the wind blows, but you can't see it. You can only feel it, but you know it's there. And that's what faith is. And right now, this is what this country better start understanding. I mean, me too, but you're everybody in your ministry, everybody you get on your show, you're a daytime Steve Bannon in War Room. Because, I mean, These people, it's day and night between those two shows. I mean, the daytime and Tucker, you know. But yourself, you just put it where it is. But Pastor Sanders' 12 suggestions would be a nice test for to read. Maybe kind of take the 66 foot and maybe we'll take a look at it.
I'll think on that. Maybe I've got 12 suggestions. But thanks for calling, Steve. All righty. Who do we have next? All right. How much time do we have? All right, you know what? Okay, yeah. Hal will be the last call then. Hal, we're going to give Hal, you're going to have 7 whole minutes to tell the folks out there how they can avoid where the Democrats are going unless they repent, okay?
Amen.
I mean, think about that. How would you like to spend all of eternity with Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton?
I wouldn't like to spend 1 hour.
Less than that.
Alrighty. So go ahead and tell us how we can, and you know what, too, because we pray for them. You know, we pray that the Lord would make them repent unless they burn in hell. We don't want them to burn in hell. We don't hate them. They hate us. We don't hate them. We just want them to repent because they're evil and they're wicked, and they've harmed so many innocent people, and they will burn in hell unless they repent. And, you know, God does exactly what he says he'll do. Now, folks, he doesn't stutter. He does it. So go ahead, Hal, and tell us how we can do it.
Well, you know, I was just reading in Psalm 94 some verses that reminds me of the Democrat Party. It says in verse 6, they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see. And then the Lord says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And here God is calling on Christians, people that are supposed to be called by his name, to take a stand, to have the backbone to stand up against these Satanists. And when you hear the word Democrat today, it's not the Democrat Party of your ancestors. Just replace it with the word Satanist, because the Satanists have completely taken over. The Marxists are Satanists, and they've completely taken over the Democrat Party. And so that's why they can slay the widow, the preborn babies, and the old, and everybody else that they can to practice genocide on the whole human race. They're doing it to serve their father, the devil. And that's what it comes down to, whether it's the Biden crime regime, Obama and the deep state and all them. They're trying to destroy America. They hate God. They hate everything we stand for. And what they're doing, they're not doing out of stupidity. They're doing it from a plan one, from day one, to try and destroy this country as fast as they can. But, you know, I've got a mansion waiting for me in heaven, a mansion filled with more beauty, joy, and love and peace than anything our minds could begin to imagine. And you know how I got it? It wasn't because of my good works or anything like that. It's because when Jesus died on that cross, he was being allowed to pay the payment in full for every sin I have ever done, and you too. God allowed him to transfer your sin onto his son Jesus. And when Jesus said it is finished, that means all the work necessary for you to go to heaven and be redeemed from hell has been done by his son. But that payment don't become yours automatically. Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is admitting to God what he knows already anyway. And without that payment Jesus paid for us in our hearts, we're doomed and on our way to hell. But when you repent, you go to God and you confess that you're a sinner, that you feel sorry about the fact you're a sinner and you want Jesus to come into your heart, and he says he'll come in. Revelation 3:20 says, I behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, in other words, hear my word and open the door, I will come into him. That's God's promise to you. And John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You don't get to heaven by praying to Mary, Peter, Paul, the saints, or going to the religious leaders or your good works. All your good works, if you could put sin in right now, all your good works wouldn't wash away one sin you've ever done. But the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. His blood can wash away all the sins you've ever done in a moment. But your good works can't wash away one sin. I talked to a serviceman the other day at the VA. He thinks that water baptism or going out into a lake is going to wash away his sins, some crazy thing like that. No, you don't get your sins washed away by the city's water system. It's only the blood of Jesus. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. You cannot work your way to heaven in any shape, form, or way. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart this very moment. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That power is God's Holy Spirit. It comes into your heart and gives you a spiritual birth into the kingdom of God the moment you, in simple childlike faith, open up your heart to Jesus Christ and ask him to come in as your Savior. And he'll do that. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your heart and mind right now. And my job as a preacher is to lead people to Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So call is to pray. That's referred to as a sinner's prayer. It's where you call out to God and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and give to you that payment he paid for you on that cross so you could have eternal life. That way Jesus gets all the praise for getting us to heaven. Nobody's going to be walking around heaven patting himself on the back and saying, I got here because I was a good person, good Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, or anything like that. Because you could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. So with God hearing me talking to you right now, God looking at your heart right now, Jesus knocking at the door of your heart right now, will you open up that door and let him come in as your Savior and give to you that payment he paid for you on the cross? We could say a simple prayer together, and I'd be glad to lead you a few words at a time. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. So what do you say we do that? Let's pray. Oh, dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and I need to have my sins washed away. I need to have you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I need you to give me eternal life. Wash me in your blood. And, Lord Jesus, I hear and right now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul, because I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And, Lord God, I just thank you for that eternal life. I thank you that I receive it right now. Holy Spirit, come in and give me that new birth into the family of God. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Now, listen, folks. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That word believe on means more than just to believe about. It means that you just put your faith and trust in him, the Savior. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. Know means know right now, for sure, and that you have. That's a present tense verb. You have it right now. Eternal life. That's a home in heaven forever. So, you know, when God makes you a promise, he's got to keep it or he wouldn't be God. So that's why I know if I had a massive heart attack right now, I'd be in heaven before my body even hit the floor. And you too, if you just prayed that prayer with all your heart and simple childlike faith, so praise the Lord and give him all the thanks in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Pastor.
All righty. Let me ask you this. Is the creator of the universe, is the creator of time itself, past, present, and future, is he able to do all that he says he will do? He says that there is nothing at all that's impossible for him, that his power is unlimited. Is that true?
Sure is.
And so, much more.
And so therefore, there's nothing as sure as the Word of God. Nothing. It's the most sure thing that exists. And so this is reality. This is reality, what we're talking about. You have 1,800 prophecies, and in fact, I'm going to be preaching, Lord's willing, Sunday, showing you how, in so many ways, the New Testament is a commentary on the Old Testament. But anyhow, we're out of time for tonight. And, you know, we get to this time every night. And as we do that, I want to say thanks for being here with us. And thanks for that good prayer, Pastor Hal. And until tomorrow, we always want to say good night.
Good night.
We always want to say God bless.
God bless.
And we always want to say
always
keep fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.